I don't know if you've noticed this, but data centers and their attendant ills are kind of a big deal these days.
No AI, no data. No AI.
Protesters against the proposed AI data center stood outside the Harwood Community Center with signs that read, "No power to AI," and "To water for farms, not for AI," in light of the city council meeting.
A data center campus like this can consume as much power and water as an entire city. And many of the biggest server farms are emerging from the desert. But there's no official record of how many of these are being built, where they are, or even who owns them.
To be honest, I've never really run into so much resistance for records than this project.
Get off of me!
A Port Washington City Council meeting turned into a shouting match, ending with three people arrested on Tuesday, all of it because of a recently approved data center.
Anybody that's against us, please stand up for this for the next minute.
Yes, it seems the spread of the AI slop-producing data center behemoth across the land is a growing concern in a number of locales. And beyond the cancer-like blight on the landscape itself, it brings with it some significant problems for the locals, namely energy and water usage, driving up rates and putting strains on local utility infrastructure. So, first of all, can we itemize and quantify this problem? Why, yes, we can. We can turn, for example, to the Yale Clean Energy Forum for this recent post on data center energy consumption. How much energy did slash do slash will they eat, which notes that data centers today consume a significant and growing share of electricity. Globally, data centers, excluding cryptocurrency mining, used an estimated 415 terawatt hours in 2024, about 1.5% of world electricity demand. This global demand has roughly doubled since 2010, when usage was 194 terawatt hours, thanks to the explosion of digital services. Efficiency gains, better hardware, cooling, and power usage effectiveness moderated growth for much of the 2010s, but the acceleration of cloud computing and AI has pushed energy use sharply upward in recent years. The International Energy Agency reported in 2025 that worldwide data center electricity demand is on track to more than double by 2030, reaching around 945 terawatt hours, slightly above Japan's current consumption. So there you go. We are on track for a doubling of data center energy usage in the next few years. And that is on top of the already explosive gains that are being made. Keep in mind, all of those numbers are taking into account the efficiency gains that have been made in recent years, better hardware, cooling, etc. Even so, these AI data center monstrosities are taking up more and more of the local utilities, both energy and water usage. And that is starting to create noticeable problems for many people. Case in point, recently I received an email in through the contact form from a listener, Tony, who writes, "Hey James, I was wondering if you might have any useful insight as to how us Yanks over here in the US can fight the good fight and possibly win against this explosion of data centers popping up all over the place. Thank you for all your hard work and never-ending pursuit of truth." Thank you, Tony. It's an important question. I'm sure it is one that's on the minds of many of the listeners today in the US and elsewhere in the world, where obviously this is a growing problem. So this is Solutions Watch, and I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com here in late January of 2025. Let's see, 2026. Well, there you go. My, how time flies. Let's see what kind of solutions we can put on the table for this question, because it's obviously a growing concern. And the first order of question is it possible at all for grassroots citizens' movements of any kind to have any effect whatsoever on the creation of these data centers? Well, it seems that yes, it is at least possible.
The crowd erupted after Mayor Rahina Romero and Tucson City Council voted unanimously to reject Project Blue.
Mayor Romero. Aye. Item passes.
A packed council chambers of people full of passion against the project, with the hope the council would vote no now. Council members Kevin Dahl and Karen Ulick made a motion to pull the annexation of the land altogether, effectively squashing the project. all of their colleagues agreed.
Great. Wonderful. Yes. Citizens groups can unite. They can have an effect. Or can they?
So what happens now? Project Blue will not be built within the city of Tucson, but the developer Beale Infrastructure can still try to find somewhere else in southern Arizona to build outside city limits. But now they have to go back to the drawing board.
Applications for a data center were submitted to the town of Marana back in October. A Beale Infrastructure-owned company, the developer behind Project Blue, is also behind this proposal.
It was an over four-hour meeting filled with lots of emotion as the Marana Town Council voted unanimously to approve the rezoning of about 600 acres of land to be used for a data center.
So yes, so far it's a bit of a mixed bag between successes and setbacks in this fight against the data centers, but there is a lot to be learned from these efforts and what they have produced so far. So let's start putting that on the record. First of all, we can turn to the recent edition of New World Next Week, where you will remember that James Evan Pilato was throwing in a grab bag of stories, one story on data center project cancellations quadrupled in 2025 as locals fight back, a story which Corbett Report member G thanks us for. Thanks for the good news on the data center front, guys. I know three separate people in the States and two in Canada that have been fighting them in their towns and lost the fight. Big tech companies used sneaky tactics like putting all the layers within 100 lawyers within 100 kilometer radius on retainer, so they all have NDAs and will not help locals. So it's good to know some people are succeeding in resisting the earth eating data beast. And then he goes on to provide a lot more information and links and resources. So I think people should check out G's post on that subject. But let's turn to that aforementioned data center project cancellations quadrupled story. And what is the sourcing from? Well, we can turn to Project Censored for more on this phenomenon from just a couple of weeks ago. Communities push back against AI data center expansion. And when we drill down on this story, which has a lot of the background about the data centers and why they are bad, we get to how other communities are fighting back, which notes that as the number and scale of data centers across the country expands, so too does pushback against them. A report from Data Center Watch found that in the second quarter of 2025 alone, opposition to data centers rose 125%. According to the report, an estimated $98 billion in projects were blocked or delayed, more than the total for all previous quarters since 2023. Community opposition continues to grow, with 53 active groups across 17 states targeting 30 data center projects in Q2 alone, bringing the total to 188 groups nationwide, U.S. nation, obviously. During this period, 66% of the tracked protested projects were blocked or delayed. As development expands and media attention intensifies, local groups are learning from one another. Petitions, public hearings, and grassroots organizing are reshaping approval processes, especially in Indiana and Georgia. And there is plenty more information in this article, lots of links to sources and data on this phenomenon. So I will exhort you to follow the show notes, link in the show notes to read more about this. But let's look at one specific example of an inspiring story of people coming together, community coming together to stop a data center project, dot, dot, dot. And the dot, dot, dot is significant, and we'll have to examine that as well. But let's get this story from nonprofitquarterly.org, which has this recent post, Not One Drop, How an Arizona Community Came Together to Fight a Data Center. And specifically, they're talking about a Project Blue, which is in Arizona. And Project Blue is a proposed $3.6 billion hyperscale data center slated for development on 290 acres of land on the southeast edge of Tucson. And this tells the story of, the Pima County Board of Supervisors in the summer of last year had voted 3-2 to approve rezoning and the land sale for Project Blue. The next step in the approval process was 7 weeks later in the form of a vote from the Tucson City Council to officially transfer ownership by annexation into the city. This would allow Project Blue to utilize the city's water. Our timeline to mobilize, this is from the perspective of one of the organizers, obviously. Our time to a timeline to mobilize was set, and this is how the No Desert Data Center Coalition was born. And there is a link there that you can follow to go to the NoDesertDataCenter.com website, where you can learn more about this group and what it does. But it says here, identifying the scope and nature of the threats posed by the data center took the sleuthing and knowledge of many in the community as non-disclosure agreements signed by the city and county as many as 3 years prior withheld critical information. What kind of critical information? Well, one big mystery puzzle was, who is the end user for this data center? Who is this behemoth being created for? And after a long and extensive investigation, it was found, oh, of course, Amazon Web Services. Yes, that Amazon Web Services. And another important piece of information that was revealed in this investigation was that Pima County and the city of Tucson were planning the development of Project Blue for a full 2 years before the public was informed. So again, this is an inspiring tale of a grassroots community organization that came together, started drilling down, finding out more about what was happening in their own backyard that their own city council was not telling them about, etc. And, well, it has a happy ending? Question mark. On August 6, 2025, Tucson City Council met for a study session. Council members Kevin Dahl and Karen Ulick introduced a motion to strike down Project Blue. A unanimous vote followed, and the project stopped then and there. End quote. End of story. No, there is a ... and this is an ongoing story, which we'll find out more about in a moment. But first, before we get to that, let's turn to find out a little bit about this No Desert Data Center Coalition and how they came together, how they did what they did, what they are doing, and what they hope to accomplish. And in order to do that, let's talk to let's hear from one of the spokesmen of this organization. He goes by the name of Vivek, and he was recently on the Convergence Magazine podcast, and I will put obviously the link to this full video so you can listen to the full conversation. But let's just hear a little bit about Vivek describing this organization, how it did what it did, and where it expects things to go from here, keeping in mind that this conversation was recorded in September of last year before many significant developments on this story took place.
So our story kind of starts in June when a bunch of us found out that there was going to be a data center constructed in Pima County, just east of Tucson on 290 acres of land. And, you know, that's kind of a number, right? And I'll get back to that in a second here. But a lot of us were primed for this in different ways. Like there was the knowledge about how much water it would consume, how much power it would push our energy costs up, and also just the process of how it was like kind of held in secret with NDAs. So we showed up to a Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting in June, where they were voting on whether or not to sell the land to the developer to build the data center. And unfortunately, at that meeting, they ended up voting 3-2 in favor of selling. Now that vote came during that meeting when I want to talk about the dynamics of that meeting because it kind of sets up the process too, which is the developer had ample opportunity to speak at length. The TEP, which is our electric power company, is a private company, and Tucson Water, which provides water services to the public, is a public utility. They were all on board with this plan to build the data center. Beal Infrastructure, which is the company that was developing the project, had representatives there to speak. The lawyer who was representing them also spoke at length, gave a really shitty PowerPoint presentation. And what I noticed in the room was that just everyone who had the chance to speak in favor of the project was able to do so at length. Was able to receive and answer questions from the Board of Supervisors and was paid to be there, right? Like everyone there, this was their job to be there. And if not everyone, then certainly close to everyone there was white. And that was some things I noticed in the room. And when we had a chance to speak, right? It was all community members, all of us there because we were galvanized around this issue, because we knew what it meant for the environment and for our wallets. And we had, each of us had 2 minutes to speak. We're not public speakers. We're community members. We did our best. And it was clear that the Board of Supervisors already had their minds made up. There was one supervisor, Rebecca Allen, who had done her research, spoke really eloquently about why this was a terrible idea, had actually talked to officials all over the country about their experiences with these data centers. And so after that, it was like, okay, I guess this is a campaign now, right? Because we knew that in order to serve the water that they need, the enormous amount of water that they need in a desert, that the Tucson City Council would have to annex the land into Tucson city limits. It was currently county land. So that was our next point of intervention. We came together as a diverse coalition of individuals. We were not organization supported. Like I said, none of us was paid to do this work. We were all doing this because we care for our community. We care for each other. We care for our families. And these were some of the easiest conversations I had, you know, we went to protests. We went to events that were already organized. We talked to people and we were like, hey, this is happening. And everyone, like literally within 15 to 30 seconds, they either already knew about it and thought it was a terrible idea, or they were like, yeah, that's a terrible idea. Let's not do that in the desert. Sure. Right? Yeah. It was really that easy. And so like we managed the Tucson, the county ran this process for the Board of Supervisors, the bureaucratic side of the county, right? The administration. Let me know if I should stop, because I could probably go on for the entire hour about this. And at the county and city levels, the bureaucracy, the management side of things really framed everything for the elected officials in a way that represented the corporation's interests and the developer's interests, right?
Yeah.
There was nothing there about an environmental assessment. There was nothing there about how this would affect jobs. There was nothing there about the impact of AI in general. It was all just corporate propaganda for the developer.
And I think what's interesting about that is, like, what I'm hearing from your story is the thing that you were able to do as a coalition was, like, intervene on the way that people who are already against this see the levers of power that are available to them as just, like, everyday people, and, like, sort of turning the tables in that way.
That's exactly right. So they had these public information sessions, which were really just propaganda sessions where...
Right.
the developer got to tell their side of the story and we got to ask questions. So we went there and we got loud, right? We made sure that they knew that the community was against this. And so through that work, we convinced Tucson City Council to vote no, and they voted no to annex. And that was a huge win for us. That was last month. And I got to tell you, like, we're still, even though like the bad news is coming, right? But we're still riding that high in many ways, because it was such a huge effort. It was a 7-week sprint. And a couple, like last week or the week before, we found out that the developer has another deal with TEP, the electric company, the private utility, right? They can do whatever they want. And they are going to try to get into an agreement now to build the data center on that same site. And they want to, instead of using the water, I guess they're going to air cool it, which is even more power, right? Yeah. And like one thing we learned on this journey, like from our neighbors in Phoenix, is data centers in Phoenix are responsible for 94% of the increased energy use.
Wow.
Yet the power company goes to the Arizona Corporation Commission, asks for a rate hike because of increased demand, and the Corporation Commission consistently gives them the rate hike they're asking for. Wow. So consumers end up subsidizing these data centers' power consumption. And we knew that would happen here. And if this thing gets built, that's exactly what's going to happen. Our power bills are going to go up. People die when that happens because they can't afford to run their AC when it's 114 degrees outside.
Yeah. Literally. And like, that is, it's just like the effects are like, just like layered and layered and layered, like compounding the things that people are already struggling with.
All right, that was obviously only a small clip from a much larger podcast, so I will invite you all once again to take a look at the show notes, where you'll be able to find a link to that full conversation and listen to it in its entirety. But as I was saying, that was recorded last September, when obviously the No Desert Data Center was still riding on the high of that no vote. Oh, they stopped Project Blue, right? Well, there is a dot, dot, dot to that. But before we get into it, I think there were a couple of points just from that clip alone that I think are worth highlighting. One of which is that, of course, as Vivek indicated there, yes, there's bad news to come, but that didn't stop them from at least celebrating the victory that they had in terms of raising awareness of the issue and organizing a response to that issue. Because this is an important point and one that perhaps we need to reflect on more and more often here on Solutions Watch. Activism and grouping and organizing and working toward a goal is a muscle. And the more it is flexed, the bigger it will become and the easier it will become to do things like this in the future. The more you will have an organized community movement that will be able to respond to problems in your area in the future of various sorts, not just the data center variety. So that's an important thing to reflect on. But let's get into the details of what actually is or is not taking place here, because as we remember from the nonprofit quarterly article that we were just looking at, yes, a unanimous vote followed and the project stopped then and there. But of course it did not. And as this article goes on to say, unfortunately, Beal, the developer working on this project, has since re-engaged Project Blue, which moved through the auspices of Pima County, the neighboring county. So not part of Tucson, but the neighboring county. Three of five county supervisors who wielded the power to bring the project to a halt have remained committed to it, as it also got approval through the Arizona Corporation Commission. The No Desert Data Center Coalition continues the fight and has officially filed a lawsuit against Pima County on January 14th, 2026, for violating the Arizona Open Meeting Law. You can get more details about that legal fight that's going on now and what's happening. Obviously, this is a moving target, but if you go to the No Desert Data Center Coalition website, you will find their version of this story. So earlier this week, undated, so I'm assuming earlier this month, Marana Town Council met to vote on the rezoning of two 300 acres parcels of land, 600 acres total, for a massive data center complex, courtesy of your favorite three grifters in a trench coat developer, Beal Infrastructure. Unfortunately and unsurprisingly, the town council voted 6-0 to pass the rezoning application, complete with some truly wild softball testimony from the council and bonus harassment and bullying of constituents from the dais. Don't worry, we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. Since we expected this might be the case, we were prepared with a referendum on the two votes filed on Thursday, and now we need volunteers to help collect signatures, so you can read about that and find out about the events that are going on, or were going on, I should say, because, again, this is still slightly dated information, but obviously this is a developing and ongoing story. So there's more to say about that, and for people in Arizona and in that area specifically, you might have more boots on the ground understanding of that. But what else can be done? Okay, go collect signatures, boots on the ground. That's something that can be done, a referendum, lawsuit to try to stop this based on judicial or bureaucratic wrangling. You could send a letter to Congress. Why not? The National Data Center Moratorium Now letter was sent to members of Congress on December 8th, 2025. We, the undersigned organizations collectively representing millions of people in all 50 states, call on you to support a national moratorium on the approval and construction of new data centers. And they go through the list of reasons why there needs to be such a moratorium, the electricity consumption, the water consumption, the obligatory, the weather gods will be angry with us clause, of course, and perhaps the things that everyone can get on board with: skyrocketing electricity costs and job losses. Obviously, big concerns for everyone in every walk of life, in every area, except, of course, for the uber elite and rich who like to profit on these types of deals. And there's a number of organizations that have signed on from, again, every state. So you can send a letter to Congress, sign on to that, join some of these organizations. Why not? However, keep in mind, as longtime corporate reporteers will know, you will know that I probably, in brackets, won't sign your petition. And if you want to know why, you can consult Corporate Report Radio number 177. I don't fundamentally like the idea of begging for scraps from the master's table or trying to meet such things in the rigged courts. But as I always say on Solutions Watch, I am not here to dissuade anyone from taking any action that they feel will achieve results, even short-term results in the near term that will help in a larger fight. I am not here to dissuade anyone. Take any and every action you think is necessary in any way you feel fit. And we will see what works and what doesn't and work our way forwards from there. But the question is, even if you do win the local fight or even the fight in your county or even the fight at your state level, will that fight and that win actually stick? And we get some indication of what the bigger stakes of this might be from an article like this from Deseret News. Arizona's data center project stirs tensions, which talks about the No Desert Data Center filing a lawsuit last week against Pima County in southern Arizona for approving a land sale and rezoning request from a data center developer. What we were just talking about there with the Beale infrastructure developer and the Project Blue Revivified, which is part of this. They're doing another data center project in Marana, which neighbors Tucson and Pima County, and that's where they got that rezoning approval. And that's what this lawsuit is about. But as this report goes on to say, as the Associated Press reported, these two proposals are in competition to become, quote, the first large-scale data center in southern Arizona, end quote, a possibility that the federal government welcomes. Yes, because no matter what your city votes on, no matter what your county or your state gavels down on, that doesn't necessarily mean that the federal government is going to allow that to stick. And if the federal government is populated by, I don't know, a big tech broligarchs who are very much on board with the AI agenda and have the ear of the president, the partially amputated ear, I guess, what is going to result from that? Well, things like Project Stargate. Do you think that the same president who's enthusiastic about his good friends Larry Ellison and Sam Altman and these other big tech broligarchs and their $500 billion Project Stargate AI infrastructure idea is going to allow some little city official to vote down a data center? Probably not. And we get more of that from this article where they note that the federal government's intervention would ultimately bypass any local zoning regulations, which is why state leaders need to get on board with proactively approving such projects, according to establishment toady. Kyrsten Sinema is mouthing this propaganda. So it goes on to say, it's worth noting that a proposal for a 10-year moratorium on state and local regulations around artificial intelligence, like, say, zoning laws and restrictions and things like that, did pass the U.S. House in 2025, but was struck down by the Senate. But Senator Ted Cruz signaled that such a law may become necessary, you know, if some of these uppity city councils and grassroots activists tend to get in the way of these big projects. Well, we'll have to do something about that at the federal level, won't we? Well, if this is, again, this might be too much into the weeds of the specifically U.S. Version of this struggle, and people in other countries, Canada and elsewhere, maybe have different flavors of this type of battle going on. But I think this is the larger picture of what we're dealing with. We are not simply dealing with little city zoning regulations. We are dealing with the future of not only the potentially largest industry, but perhaps the only industry of the future, the AI industry. And do you think that the big tech broligarchs are going to allow you to have anything to say about what's going on in that neck of the in your neck of the woods? Haha. You thought you had some say over this. Well, that is the real crux of the issue. And this is why it will come back once again to something that my listeners hopefully will already know something about, the idea of nullification and the works of the 10th Amendment Center. If those terms do not mean anything to you, well, then you have not been listening long enough to the Corbett Report. So I will throw in some links to let you know about the 10th Amendment Center and the work it does and the idea of nullification and nullifying illegal, unconstitutional federal laws and interventions, refusing to work with federal officials on projects that go against the laws of your local state, for example, again, in the United States context. It's an important idea and obviously something that needs to be explored in the context of this fight, as this fight starts to take shape, not only at the local level, not only at the county level, not only at the state level, but at the federal level, then we start talking about that fundamental struggle between, hey, I thought this 10th Amendment Center gave all powers not in the Constitution to the state. So why is the federal government trying to step in? So that is an ongoing issue. It's one that's been around for a long time, as evidence of which I will point you to way back in the Corbett Report archives, episode 289 of the flagship Corbett Report podcast from December of 2013. So over 12 years ago at this point, where I talked about solutions, nullification. And in that episode, I talked about the concept of nullification and where it comes from and all of that. But I also talked specifically to Michael Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center about an idea that was being proposed at that time for nullifying the NSA. Because as you might recall, back in 2013, the NSA was all over the news for their illegal spying and what can be done about this, and various ideas were in play, including an interesting proposal to essentially nullify the NSA by getting states to stop cooperating with the feds in the illegal spying on their own citizens. And how do you do that? There are a number of different ideas that were being worked on at that time under the Off Now umbrella that had been organized by the 10th Amendment Center and other groups working in coalition. And one specific aspect of their plan that I did talk about with Michael Meharry in that episode, I think has relevance to this data center issue because it was about the NSA data centers or data centers specifically in Utah that was being proposed and being constructed at that time. The NSA data center was this massive data center that required all this electricity and all this water to cool the facilities. What if the state or even this local city council stopped cooperating, stopped allowing the feds to use their water? That would shut down the data center, would it not? So let's listen to a little clip of Michael Meharry talking about this idea.
We came up with this piece of model legislation called the Fourth Amendment Protection Act, and it basically addresses four main areas. I'm going to run through them real quick. First thing it does is it prohibits a state from providing any material support to the NSA. And by material support, I mean pretty much anything physical or tangible. The best example is Utah. We know Utah has this giant data center. We know that this data center uses a lot of water. In fact, they say that when it's fully operational, it will use about 1.7 million gallons of water every single day. Well, interestingly enough, the city of Bluffdale, Utah, supplies that water, which is a subdivision of the state of Utah. So if Utah were to pass this law, the state would have some control over the political subdivision that is under it and be able to say, you know what, either this contract is voided because it is actually supporting something that is an illegal activity, or even worst case scenario, once the contract is up, it wouldn't be renewed.
Once again, that's Michael Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center, and you can find out more about the specifics of the Nullify the NSA campaign and what nullification is from that aforementioned episode 289 of the Corbett Report podcast. But of course, I will throw in a link to the 10th Amendment Center and specifically to Michael Meharry's work so you can find out more about him. I did reach out to Michael Meharry in preparation for this podcast on the idea of updating us about the Nullify the NSA campaign and lessons learned from that campaign and how those lessons could be applied to the data center fight. And although Michael Meharry did say he was interested in that, unfortunately, our schedules did not meet up. So hopefully I will be able to connect with him at some point in the future and we will be able to discuss this. But in the meantime, the question is an important one, a valid one, a very, very important one, which is, has the delegitimization of the state in the eyes of the average person advanced and progressed to the point where they could even imagine the state or local officials going against federal orders and shutting down the water to one of these data centers on behalf of their constituents, their local residents, in the face of the federal government? And what would that look like? Or is the brainwashing and indoctrination of the all holy pervasive state still have that grip on people's minds that they couldn't imagine such an eventuality. Well, no, if the federal government says that the water must flow, then the water must flow. That is an open question, and one that we may find an answer to if people do push along these lines, or maybe not. And again, that's something that is yet to be determined, because all of this is in flux and in progress. So that being said, I want to remind everyone, Solutions Watch is not a spectator sport. This is not just some podcast that you passively listen to. This is a podcast you are an active participant in. And so I would love to hear from community organizers, people who are involved in this fight, people who have one of these data centers staring them down in the face there in their own backyard, about the organizations that exist, what has or hasn't happened, what has or hasn't worked in terms of your own struggle. I think that feedback would be extremely important. So I invite everyone to follow the link back to the show notes of this episode of the podcast on CorbettReport.com. And obviously, I would love to hear from Corbett Report members about your experiences. And if there are any groups that you think are particularly worth highlighting or investigating or talking to on this front, people who are actually on the front lines fighting this fight, well, I would love to hear about it. And if they are worthy of spotlighting, perhaps I will talk to them in a future edition of Solutions Watch. So once again, Corbett Report members are invited to log into CorbettReport.com and leave your suggestions down in the comments at CorbettReport.com. I do not look at the comments anywhere else, only on CorbettReport.com. That being said, I am looking forward to hearing from you about what is happening in your own locales, US or otherwise, and what we can do to learn and move our way forward on this issue. I think this is an important issue for the year ahead, and probably this might be the defining year in terms of this issue. So let's put our heads together and see what we can come up with in strategies for fighting this. Plenty of food on the table for you to consume from this podcast. And so all of the links to all of this, the different ideas and articles and videos and resources that we have looked at today, will be there in the show notes. But on that note, we're going to leave it there for today. Thank you for investing your time in this exploration. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, looking forward to talking to you again in the near future. Insane. Deranged. Crazy. The idea that would-be rulers would cynically use the lunatic cudgel against their political enemies is bad enough. But what if the reality is the complete opposite of what is commonly understood? What if the delusions of the dissidents are in fact real? What if their inability to fit in is not a sign that they are sick, but the society they are protesting against is sick? In Descent into Madness, you will learn about the dark history and the disturbing present of political psychopathy. Descent into Madness. Watch the documentary for free at CorbettReport.com/madness, or continue your education with the free psychology course at opensourceeducation.online.